I would not vote for John McCain under any circumstances.
Today it is my pleasure to announce my support for America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani.
Jesus' friend gets exaggerated to the point where you might reach over and say, "Hey, Jesus, pull my finger."
I think I found Jesus on a Cheetos. I looked at that and I thought, that looks like Jesus on the cross. I mean, it was just like, wow. He calls him Jesus.
In every one of their congregations, whether they know it or not, there are gay and lesbian people. We are here to remind them that we're not going to go away.
You wouldn't think that it would be a controversial issue. You wouldn't think the Christians would disagree so sharply as they do about this subject, but they do. Why wouldn't you think the Christians would disagree about something like baptizing babies? Well, because it's been the historic practice of the church for 2,000 years. It is still the practice of the vast majority of Christians in the world. It is well attested to in history and in the theology of the church and the practice of the church, and it's well attested to in Scripture as well, especially with regard to what Scripture teaches baptism is. And yet the objections remain. Here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. today, we're going to answer some of the objections to what's called infant baptism or baptizing babies. Pastor Tim Pauls joins us. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thank you for joining us as well. You can submit your questions and your comments in the next 2 hours as we talk about infant baptism a little bit later, school uniforms, since school is starting so soon, and Chinese religions and human rights. 1-877-623-MYIE. 1-877-623-MYIE. That's our in-studio telephone number, and our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Tim Pauls is our guest for the first half hour. Then we have some audio open lines. School uniforms is the subject. You know, there are those who say if we dress our kids right for school, then they'll behave right for school. There's a lot of wisdom in that. There really is. So is it a good idea, not only in parochial schools where these things can be controlled a little more closely, but in public schools as well? And then there are other reasons to consider school uniforms. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Dr. John Warg Montgomery will join us for the second hour of the program. Since the Olympics begin in Beijing, China, tomorrow, everyone's been noticing the human rights conditions there in China. Getting worse, they say, since the Olympics were announced. Dr. John Warg Montgomery will make the connection between Chinese religions and a failure of human rights in that country. It's not just communism. It's also the religious views there. 1-877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Tim Pauls is a regular guest, associate pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho. He's editor of Higher Things magazine and author of an article in Higher Things titled, How to Defend Infant Baptism and Have Fun Doing It. Pastor Pauls, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, it is great to be back.
Let's deal with the big one. The Bible never tells us to baptize babies. How do you respond?
Well, I guess I can respond in a couple ways to that one, and I kind of like responding to statements like that with questions. And the first question would be, well, how old were you when you became a citizen of your country? And the answer, of course, to that question is you become a citizen of the country you belong to the moment you're born. That's part of your rights as being born in the country, being a citizen. And the reason I ask that is with that big question, we go to the big verse, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19, where Jesus said to his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Are babies part of nations? And the answer is yes. They don't have neutral citizenship, or they're not all members of Switzerland or something until they reach a certain age. They're members of all nations from the moment they're born, because they are indeed part of the human race that God has created. And so when the Bible tells us to make disciples by baptizing in all nations, that would, of course, include even the youngest.
I remember having a conversation on this very objection, and a very wise fellow pastor said, okay, let's just stop and ask the question, what does Jesus mean by all nations? What does he mean by all nations? And most people with any sense say, well, he certainly means all people, right? All people in the world. Well, does that include babies? Are babies people too?
Babies are indeed people too, yes.
Okay, then while we're on the subject of what the Bible teaches or doesn't teach about baptism, what does the Bible say baptism is, and how does that get us a long way toward answering the objections against baptizing babies?
Well, baptism is a means of grace. It's a way that a means by which God gives us forgiveness of our sins. And giving us forgiveness of sins, he also gives us faith to believe in him. He gives us eternal life. He gives us salvation. This is all that Christ has won for us on the cross. And he gives us all these great gifts of forgiveness and faith and life in holy baptism.
So if it's God's doing, a lot of the objections have to do with what the baby can or can't do, can or can't think. Do all of those fall away if we realize that this is God's doing, baptism?
I would certainly think so. And this is the big, I would say this is the key point in whether or not one will accept that infant baptism is in fact something that God calls for. If it is our efforts, then we have to be old enough, strong enough, smart enough to do something about it. But if it's all God's doing, then God can certainly give forgiveness and faith and life. You know, one of the examples I use when I'm talking to youth is I talk about my crummy TV habits of the past, and I grew up always liking medical shows like I don't know, Emergency or ER or whatever, and I don't watch them anymore, but I saw a lot of emergency room scenes over the years. And at least once an hour on those shows, someone was always wheeled in on a gurney and their heart had stopped. And not once in all those years did a doctor ever hand the paddles to the patient and say, "Sir, if you'll just shock yourself back to life, you'll be fine." The life had to come from outside of him because he was dead. And likewise, if we take serious in Scripture that we are in fact born dead in our trespasses and sins, that we cannot save ourselves, then that life has to come from outside of us. That forgiveness and faith all come from outside of us, and that comes from God. And if God can give that to an adult, if it's all God's doing, certainly he can give that to an infant as well.
So the objections raised against infant baptism are really at their root based in an unbiblical view of man and his fallen condition.
That's correct. In my experience, when I have heard arguments made that you must be a certain age to be baptized, it's because the argument underlying that is you must be old enough to choose Jesus as your Savior. And underlying that argument is the idea that mankind, you and I, have enough goodness left in us, at least a spark of goodness, that's able to reach out and to choose Jesus for ourselves. It's a synergistic view that we work with God to save us.
All right, then while we're there, let's deal with one of the other objections that seems to more openly express this faulty view of man's fallen nature, and that is, look, these babies are innocent. Just look at them. They're adorable. They don't sin. They don't need baptism.
Well, babies are adorable, at least during your waking hours. They're not so adorable at 2:30 in the morning when you wake them up, I suppose. But no matter how babies look, the Bible makes very clear. You know, David says in Psalm 51, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother did conceive me." He doesn't say he became sinful later on, but that he was sinful from conception on. And while babies may appear more innocent, and in some ways, I suppose, we could talk about a civil innocence because babies haven't had the chance to learn all the bad habits and they haven't been exposed to all the crummy stuff that adults have. But while they appear innocent, they are certainly they're sinful. They are under the curse of original sin just like the rest of us. And if they are, in fact, sinful, then they need to have that forgiveness.
Okay, then one more, which is a variant on the one we just talked about, with only about a minute to respond.
Yeah.
Well, they may well be sinful, and they may well have inherited Adam's sinful nature, but God doesn't hold them accountable. I mean, up until a certain age, God certainly would be fair and not hold them accountable for something they don't themselves understand, their own sin.
Right. Right, right. And that comes back from the old age of accountability or age of reason argument, which is maybe good philosophy, but it's bad theology. If you go back to the time of the flood in Genesis chapter 6, God caused the flood because every thought of mankind was evil. And yet when the flood wiped out all the wicked except for Noah and his family, all the children perished too. God held them accountable for sin because they too were sinful. It's a tragic fact, but that's what the Bible declares, that all children, all of us, from infancy on, need to have that forgiveness of sins. And the baptism provides that to us.
Folks, what kind of objections have you heard to infant baptism? I want to hear from you. We're coming to you live this Thursday. It's the 7th of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tim Pauls is our guest. We're talking infant baptism. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Tim Pauls is Associate Pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho. He's editor of Higher Things Magazine. A recent article for Higher Things Magazine, he has titled, How to Defend Infant Baptism and Have Fun Doing It. We'll do more of that on the other side of this break. You know, I've heard people say, people have called the program saying, these babies, they're innocent, they don't sin, they don't need baptism. That's the same thing as saying they don't need Jesus. Would you ever say that of a baby? Any baby? Oh, that baby doesn't need Jesus. No, you wouldn't. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back. Pastor Carl Gregory, Susan Manchester, Christopher, Katrina Lindsay, Elton Volkwardsen, Mark Reed, Samuel Bobby, Pastor Matthew Payne, Paul Dieterding, and Lori Mummy. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tim Pauls is our guest. We're talking about infant baptism. I invite your questions or your comments. If you've heard an objection that we haven't covered yet, feel free to give us a call. Or if you have one that you'd like to raise and have us answer, that's as good. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. A little later in the program, we'll be talking about school uniforms, and school is starting, and so many are concerned about the way the kids are dressing nowadays. Younger and younger and younger, the dress code seems to be slipping. Do we need firmer dress codes, uniforms, to help our kids in school, not only in terms of modesty, but also in terms of their performance and their behavior? 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Before the break, you went to an odd place. In fact, maybe it's not that odd, considering that baptism is all about drowning with water. You talked about the flood and the fact that the infants perished there in the flood. God held them accountable. I remember once when I was a parish pastor, I was sitting in the pastor's meeting, and my district president was talking about infant baptism. He said something I'd never heard before. He said, if these little babies don't need the salvation that Christ gives in baptism, if they're sinless and innocent, why do they die? Why do they die just like everybody else? If they were innocent, would they die, Pastor Pauls?
Well, no. Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Through one man, sin came into the world, and death through sin, says Romans 3, I believe. The point being, as we heard from David in Psalm 51, we're conceived and born in sin, so we're always sinful. And I guess a tragic ongoing proof of this, well past the flood, is that babies, infants, toddlers still die. The wages of sin bring death to both body and soul. And if they were not in fact held responsible for their sin, why would they suffer death?
Here's one. I think it's one that Luther was familiar with, because it wasn't until the time of the Reformation that many of the so-called Protestants started to question things like infant baptism. And they did, and they said, well, golly, if infant baptism really is the work of God, then why do so many people who are baptized as infants fall away from the faith or stray away from the church?
Well, baptism is a gift of salvation. It's a gift of forgiveness. It's a gift of faith. And when God gives these things, by definition, a gift is something that you can refuse. You can throw away if you don't want it. So when someone receives forgiveness, it's not that God has turned them into a slave, but a son of God. And if one who is baptized says, I no longer want to be a son of God, I no longer want to be an heir of the kingdom of heaven, he can tragically throw that gift of forgiveness away.
1-877-623-MYIE, or email us here in the studio on this Thursday, the 7th of August. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Jessica's listening in Skokie, Illinois. Hi, Jessica.
Hello. I've heard that one of the arguments you pointed out, for instance, why do infants need to get baptized? They're innocent. They don't sin. And that's the argument I've heard from my friend. And you know, it's like, but doesn't Psalm 51, verse 5 say, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me?
Jessica, thank you very much. You were talking about that before, Pastor Pauls, and I guess part of it has to do with how we perceive or how we think we perceive sin. I mean, if the baby came out with bared teeth and screaming and kicking and clawing at the mother's eyes and things like that, we probably wouldn't have any question about whether or not we're dealing with a little sinner on our hands. But they come out very passive, sleeping mostly, crying some, but more or less inactive. Is inactivity to be confused with sinlessness?
Yeah, you know, I was going to say that the screaming and kicking didn't start for at least 35 minutes after the birth of my kids, so I guess there was a time there. No, you know, the sins that we see on the outside are one thing, and our sinfulness is another, and we make the distinction between actual sin and original sin. And actual sin would be those things that we see on the outside, the things that we do and say and think that are wrong, that break God's law. But like a fever and a stomach would be symptoms of a flu virus, I suppose, the things that we do and say are really only symptoms of the real problem inside, that we're born sinful. And Psalm 51:5 that Jessica quoted trumps her friend's argument, because whether or not we see babies sin, the Bible makes clear that we are in fact all born sinful, that we are sinful from conception on. You know, I think of Jesus talking to the Pharisees and calling them whitewashed tombs. The Pharisees seemed to buy into the notion that as long as they looked good on the outside and controlled their actual sins, then they were righteous on the inside. And I think whitewashed tombs was a pretty powerful description. They might have looked great and neat and nice on the outside, but inside they were still dead before God. And so it is for all of us in our sin, apart from Christ.
You said before that the whole age of accountability or age of reckoning that is often asserted by people who reject infant baptism is good philosophy, but it's not good theology. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, I tried to track this a while back, and the age of accountability in the church seems to come from the educational or philosophical idea of the age of reason. That, and it varies from age 7, age 9, somewhere in there. Children have a much better grasp of right and wrong. They're able to cognitively process things better. And I don't dispute that at all. You certainly teach a first grader differently than you would teach a sixth grader in any subject. But the fact that their mind works differently and they understand right and wrong better is not the same as saying that they are right or they are wrong, or they aren't right or they aren't wrong. One can be wrong without knowing it. I think we all sometimes are wrong without knowing it, but that still leaves us accountable for being wrong.
Another objection that's often raised, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Okay, they can't repent. How do you respond?
Well, Peter goes on in the next verse to say this promise is for you and for your children, and he doesn't say it's for your children when they grow up. The other part is that repentance is a gift of God as well. It's He who moves us to contrition for our sin. It's He who gives us the forgiveness to trust in Him. Repentance isn't our work. It's His work for us. And so if He can give us forgiveness, He can certainly, and if he's the one who gives us repentance, He can certainly give repentance and forgiveness. He can give contrition and trust even to the smallest infant. Again, This is a matter of faith, and faith is not the same as cognitive awareness. It's not the same as our ability to understand and think clearly. It's trust in God. And this plays a big part, Todd, actually, not just with infant baptism, but on the other end of life, when people are suffering from, say, Alzheimer's or some other sort of dementia, we certainly don't want to say that their faith depends on how much they think or how clearly they understand things. Faith is a gift of God that holds on to Christ, and that's not the same as how well our minds work.
So when someone says, well, you know, shouldn't they at least be able to understand what's happening in baptism? And babies, at least as far as we can tell, don't understand much at all to begin with. That is really sounds like the same kind of objection as they can't repent or they can't do anything else.
Yeah, you know, let's apply that to other arguments. If babies can't understand nutrition, would we want to deprive them of food until they were old enough to understand and how nutrition works and old enough to count calories? And the answer is, of course not. Even though babies don't understand, even though they don't understand how nutrition works, they still need food. And God has given them enough knowledge to suckle and to receive food right off the bat. We could say, too, do babies need to understand the importance of warmth or how blankets work before we swaddle them up, before we take them outside in a snowstorm? The answer is, of course not. God still provides clothes for babies, even if they can't understand why they keep them warm. It's still a gift that keeps them alive.
Pastor Tim Pauls is associate pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho. He's editor of Higher Things magazine, and in a recent edition of Higher Things magazine, he's written an article titled, How to Defend Infant Baptism and Have Fun Doing It. You can find out about this great youth magazine, Higher Things, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling 1-888-448-2359, 1-888-448-2359, Higher Things Magazine. Pastor Pauls, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, thanks, Todd. It's been a lot of fun.
You know, we can spend a lot of time talking about what a baby can or can't do. And people have put their scientific inquiry to good use trying to figure out what babies are capable of. It's irrelevant. the question when it comes to baptism, when God delivers the death and resurrection of his son Jesus Christ for sinners to sinners, whether you're a baby or you're a full-grown person, the question isn't what the baby can do or what you can do. The question, the only question that's relevant is, what can God do? Is there anything God cannot do when it comes to saving sinners for whom his son bled and died? No, there's nothing God can't do. When we come back from this break, what do you think about school uniforms as school begins? Should we have them? Are they restrictive? Will our kids perform better if they're wearing, at least better, more modest clothes? And what about that modesty issue? We'll talk about school uniforms, open lines, after this.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues, Etc.